then as we live this coming week to apply it to our lives. Lord, we know that we need your help always for following you, for knowing you, for becoming more like you. And we know that you are going to be with us and help us and guide us because you're a good shepherd. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you would, please stand with me as we read the passage that we're going to study mainly today. And we turn your Bible to Hebrews chapter 5, verses 11 through chapter 6, verse 12. Hebrews chapter 5 to Hebrews chapter 6, verse 12. We have much to say about this, but it is hard to explain because you are slow to learn. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. Chapter 6. Therefore, let us leave the elementary teachings about Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance and acts that lead to death, and of faith in God, instruction about baptisms, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. And God permitting, we will do so. It is impossible for those who have been enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift, who have shared in the Holy Spirit, who have tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the powers of the coming age, if they fall away, to be brought back to repentance, because to their loss they are crucifying the Son of God all over again, and subjecting him to public disgrace. Verse 7. Land that drinks in the rain, often falling on it, and that produces a crop useful to those for whom it is farmed, receives the blessings of God. But land that produces thorns and thistles is worthless, is in danger of being cursed. In the end, it will be burned. Even though we speak like this, dear friends, we are confident of better things in your case, things that accompany salvation. God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown him as you have helped his people and continue to help them. We want each of you to show this same diligence to the very end in order to make your hope sure. We do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those whose faith and patience inherit what has been promised. May God add his blessing for reading this word and this receiving. Thank you. Well, I think that the theme of the chapter today, or the section of this chapter, is a warning about being slow or slothful or lazy towards the Word of God. And this passage today is the third warning in the book of Hebrews. So it's a warning or a danger symbol to watch out, because there's danger ahead. It's almost like this big red light, bigger than this one. You probably can't see it too well. But it's a danger. It's a flashing light, flashing red light that says, watch out. Be careful. Because there are holes up ahead that you could fall into. There are two previous warnings in the book of Hebrews that we've already touched on, and they also concern the Word of God. All five of these warnings will be about the Word of God, because I think that's appropriate, because the Word of God is so very important for Christians. We need it. We need it all the time. We need Bible. And we need to get it into our hearts, make it a part of our lives in a personal way. According to chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, 4, where the first warning is found, we're not to wander away from the Word of God. You know, we're all like sheep, aren't we? We all have that tendency to wander away. We're not to do that. The second warning is found in chapter 3, verses 7 through chapter 4, verse 13. We're not to doubt the Word of God. We're to believe it. God wrote this for it. We're not to doubt it in any way. And, you know, these warnings are serious things that were said from God to these people in Rome who, I believe, were tempted to just give up and walk away from the gospel, from faith in Jesus Christ.
So they could distinguish the difference between good
not just a question, this passage, about knowledge, about knowing the Word of God, but also a problem of effectively, skillfully using the Word of God in daily life in order to make good moral choices, to be a light to help other people come to know Jesus as their Savior, and to follow Him. And you know, when we're skillful with the Word of God, we'll notice that. We'll have a list of people that came to know Jesus because of our testimony with them. And we'll know those people are going to church somewhere because this person or I spent time with them. They had to be able to reject false ideas and claim them to what is good. Be mature in their faith. Not milk drinkers. You know, we have a 4.5-year-old granddaughter named Mira. And, you know, we think the world of this little girl. We really do. According to Cindy and I, this little girl is one of the brightest, cleverest little girls on the absolute face of this planet. You can ask us, we'll tell you about how bright she is. She says and she does clever things. Probably got her genetics from her grandma, not from her grandpa. And she makes us very happy. And I think we make her happy too. Especially when grandma brings her pie. Gaga and pie. She didn't say Gaga anymore. She says grandma. You know, but if something would happen to this little girl and her body would somehow keep growing, but her mind would stop and she would keep saying the same things that she's saying today when she's 20, you know, when she's still talking about, you know, the sip cup or the bottle when she's 20, we would not be happy with Mira. We would not be happy. We'd say, Mira, you've got to be talking about other stuff. Because as she matures, she has to mature on just being a milk drinker. Just as we do as followers of Jesus Christ. We have to advance. If we don't advance, we decline. We don't bring glory to Jesus Christ. So the first illustration, being a milk drinker. Second, being meat eaters. Look at chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. Therefore, let us leave the elementary teachings about Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance, but acts that lead to death and faith in God. Instruction about baptisms, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. And God permitting, we will do so. The mature Christians, spiritually, are meat eaters. They move away from baby talk and from an immature diet. They have a more mature diet. Now, the believer's responsibility is to allow Christ to work in their lives through His Word and to stop putting hindrances in the way. In order to mature, they have to advance beyond that first stage of salvation, not laying again that same foundation that they had at the beginning. It's like a builder. Now, Keith here is a builder, isn't he? And he read a passage about building. But the builder knows that foundation is very, very important. But we have to eventually leave that foundation and build a scaffolding, don't we, as we go up with the building. For some of you are students, you know that the ABCs and the multiplication tables are important. We need them always. But someday we're going to have to advance beyond just knowing our ABCs and multiplication tables and start working on our 3. So in verses 1 through 3, there are listed for us three pairs of foundational truths that are absolutely vital to our faith. And that's why they're called milk, because milk is vital, isn't it, for babies? It's vital. It's vital for us, too. It's very important for us when we become Christians. First one deals with repentance and faith. See it in chapter 6, verse 1. Not laying again the foundation of repentance and acts that lead to death and of faith in God. That's verse 1. So the first element there, repentance and faith, salvation. You know, we should be, as Christians, we should be sure of our salvation. We should know about this. But we should advance from that too as we go on. It's like, you know, a little girl that I know, she was so eager to receive Jesus as her Savior that every time an evangelist would come to her church, she would go forward. And, you know, she prayed, you know, many times to ask Jesus to come into her heart. It's not necessary. He comes and he stays. He comes and he stays. We have to get that straight in order to advance in our walk with Jesus. The second part is talked about in verse 2. Baptism and laying on of hands. It says instructions about baptism and laying on of hands. And that refers to ordinances of the church. Things that we do in order to teach spiritual realities. And that's why we baptize people, so that people will know that Jesus Christ is a part of their lives, and now they've been cleansed from all that, and they're new in Christ. So ordinances. Ordinances. And baptism is important, vitally important for us if we're Christians, for it to tell everybody that we're believers. We do it in a public way. It helps us to grow. Secondly, the second thing that helps us to grow, it talks about ordinances. The second ordinance we have as a church is communion. God uses communion in our lives to help us to grow, be more like Jesus. It's very important as a Christian to come to communion, to attend communion service, because that's one of the basic foundational things we do as Christians. We understand salvation, we understand the ordinances. Not necessary for salvation, but for growth. We're going to grow to be more and more like Jesus, and we'll take part in those primary basic things. And the third thing that's mentioned is eschatology. It says, instruction about baptism, verse 2, the laying on of hands, and the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. And God permitting, we will do so. So the third primary and vital thing to understand is the resurrection of the dead. I mean, it's part of the gospel message. Understand that Jesus rose from the dead, and someday we're going to rise from the dead too. It's also important to know that Jesus is coming back. It's vital for us too. But these things are not to be the end of our learning, but just the beginning. That's the beginning. After that, there must be advancement to solid food that leads to personal righteousness. Knowing the difference between evil and good. Not just knowing all the answers about the Bible, but understanding how that applies to me, how that I can make moral decisions that please God, so that I don't do stuff that keeps me from growing to be more and more like Jesus. Let's go on to maturity. It's an invitation in this passage. It's an invitation from God. Christians are to graduate from milk. Milk, just eating milk, drinking milk all the time. Drinking, sipping from the sippy cup. And go on to eat meat. From baby food to solid food. And that's a mark of maturity. Solid food is for the mature. That's the second illustration. Now we'll go on to the third illustration. That is being because of their loss, they are crucifying the Son of God over again, subjecting him to public disgrace. Land that drinks in the rain, often falling on it, and that produces a crop useful for those for whom it is formed, receives the blessings of God. But land that produces thorns and thistles is worthless and in danger of being cursed. In the end, it will be burned. These verses that I just read are probably the hardest verses in the Bible to understand and interpret. You know, there's great debates going on, especially over verses 4 through 6 all the time. It's one sentence in the Greek text, one sentence. And the way people look at this is that many times they're influenced by what they think about the rest of the Bible. You can't do that. You have to look at each text and see what it says and deal with it. The first way that people look at this, they think, oh, this is Christians who have somehow lost their salvation. You know, the rest of the Bible, we always teach from what is clear to what is unclear. So we know in the Bible it teaches us, according to the Gospel of John many times, in other places, a Christian cannot lose their salvation. So we know that is not the right interpretation of verses 4 and 6. The second interpretation is that, these are just professing Christians. These are people who just say that they're Christians, but they're not actually Christians. But then you go down through the text, again, and that won't work, because there's like 5 or 6 things there that says that describe these people as being real believers. We'll look through that as we go on. And the third way, and I think it's a pretty good way, is to think about it, the whole thing as being a hypothetical situation. In the Greek text, maybe your Bible says if. See the word if, verses 4 through 6? Guess what? There's no if in the Greek. There's no if. If is just put there by the translators of the Bible in order to try to help us to understand it. So that's problematic. But the final way is that this passage is talking about disqualification for service and loss of rewards. And that goes along with the passage that Keith read for us. Now we have that out of the way. Let's go down through these verses and see what it says. So the author here is telling us about the alternative to spiritual advancement. You know, what happens to people when they decide, I'm not going to do what it takes for me to grow, to be more like Jesus. You know, if they make that decision and they don't advance in their faith, then they retreat. And they lose blessings that are promised in this life and the future life, like the millennial period in heaven, than later to come. It's clear from this passage that they were Christians. Let's confirm that. Verse 4, it says, they have once been enlightened. That's something that the Holy Spirit does to a person when they become a Christian. His job is to enlighten us to the Word of God. We have tasted the heavenly gift. Jesus, in John chapter 4, verse 10, says, if you knew the gift of God, so Jesus is the heavenly gift. It says that in Romans chapter 5, too, that Jesus is this gift from God, salvation. Who have shared in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has become a part of their life. It's made their home, their dwelling in them as they became Christians. Who have tasted the goodness of the Word of God. So they're understanding the Word of God and the powers of the coming age. And the Greek word there is dunamis. And it's often used to describe all the miracles that happen in the book of Acts. So they're definitely born again people. For some reason, maybe because of intense pressure, some of them are deciding to go back to their old ways of keeping the Jewish law. And therefore, they're making friends with those people who actually crucified our Lord. They're doing this over and over again. And if they're in that process of being like that, it's not possible for them to repent, because they're involved with this stuff. They've hardly terrible thing to have your house burned down and only survive with the clothes on your back. You know people like that? Gone through that? That's terrible. The gift of this baptism is a warning to Christians not to lose the reward that will be given out at the judgment seat of Christ. To have absolutely nothing that needs to be rewarded for, and remain that way for all of eternity. Imagine being in heaven and saying, well, there was nothing I did on earth that I was rewarded for. It was somehow through fire I was saved and I made it to heaven. But man, wouldn't you want to have something to give praise to God for all of eternity, for something that you did? People make those kind of choices. The final part, final illustration is being a fruit grower, verses 9 through 10. Even though we speak like this, dear friends, we are confident of better things in your case, things that accompany salvation. God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown him, as you have helped his people and continue to help them. We want each of you to show the same diligence to the very end in order to make your hope sure. We do not want you to become lazy, there's that word again, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. So the author ends this section with words of hope. We are confident of better things in your case, he says. God is just. God will not forget your love for him, your work for him. But God wants us to be diligent to the end, not to be lazy, but to imitate those who follow Christ. For the author of this book sees signs of true conversion in many of the recipients of this letter. By their words and by their deeds, they were confirming that they knew Christ. The deeds that match these words is a test that the Lord said and looked for in the future. Matthew 25:40 says this, whatever you did for the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. The word of God tells us to do what? Wake up. Don't be lazy. Get serious about your relationship with Jesus. We just have three questions at the end today to ask you about. These are personal questions, so you'll know them better than I do. First question, are you a milk drinker? Is this your diet? Are you a milk drinker? Still eating baby food and talking baby talk? Hope not. Secondly, are you a meat eater? Are you maturing in how you're applying the Word of God, how you're making discerning decisions about the Word of God? Are you learning about righteousness in daily life? And a third question,